But first, this is the season for graduation speeches, and here is one of sorts from a next-to-normal story slam at the McLean County Arts Center. Story slam stories are true experiences from the heart. Tristan Bixby is a senior at Normal Community High School, graduating soon. She tells us what life has taught her about making plans. I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away.
Yes, that's right. In true theater kid fashion, I chose a Hamilton song. Yes. I actually saw it with my mom earlier this week. It's so good. But that's not the story that I'm telling. Anyway, so I have been acting, singing, and dancing for as long as I can remember. That being said, I've had scripts in my face for as long as I can remember telling me what to say, how to act, how things should be in general. Now, occasionally, things go wrong on stage. An actor skips a line, forgets a prop, misses an entrance, et cetera, et cetera. At this point, those in the performance need to improvise. I never once thought about applying this to real-world situations or my life in general, but this past year has forced me to improvise. So 1 year ago, little Tristan was 17. As you can imagine, I was finishing up my junior year and preparing for what is now my senior year. I was supposed to have fun with friends, work a small job, take easy classes, and waltz my way into college with a smile on my face. This was my script. This was my plan. I had clear goals, and the world laughed at me. Yay. So 1 year ago, I was content with my social life. There were a few squeaky wheels every now and then, and by a few, I mean all of them, but that's fine because it's high school and that's how it's supposed to be, so I wasn't worried about it at all. But then there was this girl, and that's how all the best stories start. There was this girl. And this girl and I, we were best friends, but we were from two different friend groups. Because who doesn't love a modern-day Romeo and Juliet, am I right? We had to keep it a secret because they didn't like each other all that much, but that's fine. We were fine doing our thing, having a good time, but then it blew up in our faces. People found out, and they got upset because they felt like they needed to control a situation that they had no say in. Things got ugly, and I remember looking around at the damage that had been done and thinking to myself, what about the script, you guys? You're supposed to follow it, but that's fine. We're fine. I'm fine. So over the summer, I got myself back together, picking things up, thinking, okay, well, step one is a no-go. Better luck next time. We'll get them. I still have the rest of my plan. And the world laughed again, right in my face. So I ended up auditioning for the fall play, 12 Angry Jurors. I was the angriest of the juror. It was the best of times. We were at rehearsal one day, and we were reading our lines, working through the play, as one does when they're a theater kid. And there was a point in the scene where we were at our designated spots around this big table that I now see in the library every day at study hall, but that's fine. It's irrelevant. Anyway, sorry. This is to make sure I don't do that. That's why I have the paper. Anyway, so we were reading our lines, and then one of the actors began struggling with his. He started saying it over and over again. He just couldn't get it out. My older brother has epilepsy, so I recognized this pattern as the beginning signs of a seizure. I looked at the directors, we called for a break, and I escorted him out of the room into a safer room with less people, and we continued to care for him as he continued this pattern. And I left, and I went back into the auditorium to get my jacket, actually the same jacket that I have here today, ironically enough. I was gone for seconds, and by the time I got back, he had entered a grand mal seizure, a very violent and a very scary seizure for all those people involved. I shouldn't have left. I was supposed to be there. The plan changed, but then that plan was me staying and taking care of this friend of mine. Having a close family member with epilepsy, I knew I had the most experience with these things, but I had never been in a situation like this. I did my best to remain calm, and we all continued to care for him. It all feels like a blur, but if I did go into the details, I could tell you all you want and more, and you would have to stop me because I would go over my time limit of 10 minutes. So the ambulance came, and I watched them take him away. The actor is doing much better now. We sit together at lunch. I get to annoy him every day. It's a great time. We're very close friends, but none of this was in my script. None of this was in my plan. Less than a week after that, less than a week, this happened on a Friday. The Thursday after that, the world decided it wanted one more laugh at my plan. My plan that day was to go straight from school to play rehearsal to a potential Battle of the Bands rehearsal because it was still the beginning of the school year and homecoming events were like riling up. And I knew my older brother was home alone that day. So it wasn't in my original plan, but this is the best edit that I have made to my script ever. I went home to have a bite to eat with him, just talk about our day, see how things were going. So I pulled up to the driveway, I opened the garage door, and I walked to the door to the house, and I noticed that it's locked, which is weird because that's what the garage door is for, so we don't lock that door. And I was like, what's going on? But that's fine. Irrelevant again, I'm sorry. So I fumbled with my keys, and as soon as I opened that door, I heard a scream. My heart sank into my stomach before I even knew what was going on. So I walk around our counter, and I turn, and I see my older brother lying on the floor, barely conscious, in a pool of his own blood. With shaky hands, I dial 911. Fun fact, I almost had Siri do it for me because my hands were shaking so hard. So I dial 911 with shaky hands, and before the operator even picks up, I have the front door unlocked and opened. I have a clear path to the kitchen, and I have our dog we call Cujo, who is a tiny Yorkie about this big, in the kennel because I knew that she would bark at the paramedics. And I just ran back over to my brother, and I held him in my arms. I didn't care how much blood got on me. I just wanted to hold him and be with him. So we sat there, and we waited. As the wind pushed against the screen door, I heard nothing. The operator on the other end was still talking, but I did not hear her. I was just there in that moment with my brother, holding him. That silence then turned into a small noise. That small noise then became sirens, and they got closer. They got closer, and they got louder and louder. And before I even knew it, the paramedics were in my house, and my brother was screaming again. And I had to turn around and cover my ears with my hands. I forgot about the blood on my hands. I did my best to be anywhere but in that situation. I wanted my parents. I wanted normal. I wanted someone to just stick to the plan, for Christ's sake. I wanted structure. I wanted something. I felt a hand on my shoulder, and I leaned into the touch, and I was met with an embrace. Three of our neighbors had seen what would happen, had seen what had happened. They entered the house, and they surrounded me. A little safety bubble right there in that moment. Within the next hour and a half, my whole family was sitting in the hospital, our lives at a complete halt. Our scripts torn to shreds. My director ended up driving me home at 2 a.m., and while showering, I distinctly remember watching the blood roll down the drain, and I was silent once again. I couldn't hear the water, couldn't hear my heartbeat, but the sirens echoed in my head. I went to bed that night wondering how I would survive this. My script was torn to shreds at this point. I was still only 17. I wasn't supposed to have nightmares. I wasn't supposed to have flashbacks. My brother was not supposed to be in a coma for his birthday. I was supposed to have a happy senior year and walk my way into college. But my plan was gone. With well-meaning friends, relatives, and acquaintances interrogating me about my brother, and while I began dealing with symptoms of PTSD, there was a time where I genuinely considered dropping out of school. My senior year. Just forgetting about high school, college. I was even thinking about giving up on acting. Why not trash the whole plan? It already wasn't off to a great start. I never told anybody that I had these thoughts. Everything about my structure, my plan, what was supposed to be this focus of mine, crumbled. None of this was in my plan. Now for a while, I woke up almost every day filled with dread. I struggled with eating because the sight of my own kitchen made my heart and my stomach churn. Sometimes it still does. I still need to cover my ears when I hear sirens because then I get flashbacks, but I get better every single day. I get stronger every single day. I learn more about myself every single day. So does the rest of my family. Not just about me, about themselves too, but like we're talking about me right now, so that's fine. So don't be mistaken. Good things have come from this. My brother makes jokes about his Harry Potter scar that he has on his head despite never reading the books. He claims that he saw one of the movies, but I don't believe him. My soul feels aged in the best way. My heart feels wise. And my mind is now trained to expect the unexpected. I lived almost my entire life with scripts telling me what to say, where to go, and how things should be. Occasionally, things go wrong. At this point, those in the performance need to improvise. This performance that we call life has no script. And it won't read yours, I'm sorry. So feel free to make your plans, but accept reality for what it is. There will be lines skipped and entrances missed. This is certain, I promise you. It will not read your script. When I say it won't, I mean it won't. So these mistakes will happen. That is one of the only things that is certain in this world. But I have learned to see the light in these situations. And when in doubt, I work on my improv. Thank you.
That's Tristan Bixby, soon to graduate from Normal Community High School. She'll be a theater major at ISU in the fall. Tristan comes from a family of six children, and all their names start with T. Her favorite color is purple. She told her story at a Next to Normal Story Slam produced by Dove and Lavelle at the McLean County Arts Center, recorded by GLT correspondent Brianna Groh. The theme of the next story slam, a week from today at 7 p.m., is Isn't It Romantic?